Oh, yeah. Ah, ha, ha. Carton Show. Big Mac. We welcome SNY to the program now as well. How did you feel about becoming a big star in the last 24 hours, Big Mac?
Me?
As I saw, I think it was wrote an article on Newsday about the first week of the show with glowing reviews.
Yeah.
About your performance.
Well, yes.
Yeah, no.
About us, but yeah.
Glowing reviews.
Glowing reviews.
About how funny you are and how you're a real fan.
Well, they really complimented you on letting me be funny.
Yeah.
So thank you. I appreciate that.
That's why I think the torch was passed from Neil Best to Anthony Reber was a solid passing of the torch. I've never met I never met him. I've never spoken to him. But I appreciate honest, objective reviews of what we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's also right. I
mean, well, yeah.
Brilliant first week.
It was really good.
Like,
it's better than the last time they wrote about the first 3 days, right? A couple years ago when it was.
Yeah, that's a different paper and another douche knuckle that's out there. We had, Evan and I did three shows, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, they're going to get killed by Michael Kay and those guys. And I was like, dude, we did three shows. Mm-hmm. And November 2nd was our first show. By January 15th, we were number one in the market and never lost another day or week or month or book to those guys. And well,
you started letting Big Mac talk, and that's what changed.
I think that's what it was.
That's what it was.
Once we opened up your microphone,
there we
everything
go.
Changed for the better. Anyhow, welcome to the Carton Show with Big Mac. Obviously, a huge NFL weekend. And I guess for some people, a very positive weekend for the New York Giants. Because the Packers, while they lost, it seems like they're bringing back Matt LaFleur. So that's one guy, one situation that we can argue is better than the Giants.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about your guy Harbaugh going to. The Buffalo Bills took care of business on the road for the first time since 1992. So Sean McDermott is safe. Mm-hmm. So that's a situation because of Josh Allen that would have frightened you to losing Johnny Harbaugh. The Eagles right now, with an embarrassing loss at home to San Francisco, it appears from the scuttlebutt in Philly that it's just going to be Kevin Petullo that loses his job. Nick Sirianni is safe. I don't buy that until I hear the Eagles say that.
Sure.
I think Nick Sirianni is walking into a room with Jeff Fleury in a similar fashion to Joe Pesci at the end of Goodfellas. I think there's a chance the whack has been ordered. We'll find out either tomorrow or Wednesday.
There's nothing we could do.
Sorry, nothing we could do. So I think that's on the table.
Yeah.
And the other job that you were concerned about was...
Well, I'm not
blocking on it. What was the end?
Of the three teams?
No, there's one other team that we thought, boy, this
Miami,
job...
Miami, but that's
that
kind of gone.
Done.
It feels that
so
way.
So I guess it was just Philly,
right.
Buffalo,
yeah.
And Green Bay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, but now I'm not going to play this game, Craig. I'm not going to play it, not necessarily with you. I'm not worried. I'm not worried.
Okay,
I'm not
great.
Worried.
You were worried on Friday.
I'm not worried that the Atlanta Falcons were his first interview. As it is out there now, he has completed an interview with the Atlanta Falcons. I am not concerned that that's the first interview.
He has finished the interview with Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He's had extensive phone calls with not just the Giants, the Titans, as you said, because Cam Ward's there, $100 million under the cap, and I guess they like the GM there.
Yes.
The Cleveland Browns. Now, we know the Browns have already set up an interview with Mike McDaniel as well. I don't think there's any shot he goes from Baltimore to Cleveland. That just doesn't make sense to me. And the owners are wacko. The Raiders. Raiders are interesting only because you get the number one pick, so you get a quarterback. So that's it.
Right.
Interesting.
I don't think so.
And the last team he has had, not a meeting with, but an extensive phone call with, were the Arizona Cardinals. No chance he's going there.
I wouldn't think so. Now,
especially that division being so bad
right
now, too.
And he's limited, and it's been reporting for a while now that he's going to limit his search, and he's going to, like, it's not like he's just going to talk to everybody, and we'll see. And look, I would have liked him to be, now, it's on the books for this week, right, Wednesday and Thursday, but he did interview with Atlanta first.
Yeah.
Right? They
just
like
to get
he
out
likes
of the way.
Cam Ward. I'm not playing this game. I can't do this to myself. I can't get up and down and up and down. The New York Giants, of all the teams you just mentioned, to me, it's not close. The New York Giants are the best job. I think he feels that way.
Okay.
I think everyone feels that way. It's just a matter of
matter
of time.
It's up to the Maurers and Tisches and the extended executive council there to make sure whatever pitch job they have to do, they get it done. And I would warn them. We have some experience with this, although not with a coach, with a player.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks on multiple occasions have tried to woo a guy to pick the Knicks over other suitors. And to be honest, the last one that came out was kind of embarrassing, to be honest. The video that they put together to try to woo, I think it was LeBron, to come here was a little bit embarrassing. Okay,
the Sopranos thing?
They did two different videos.
Okay.
I forget which one. I may be conflating both of them.
Yeah.
But it was kind of embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my only message to the Giants are, don't embarrass yourselves. Don't do that. Make sure when he walks out of that building, even if it's not signed, and I think it needs to be signed so that you don't have to worry about anybody else, make sure it is a first-class presentation. If you got to bring Phil Simms in, do it. If you got to bring Eli in, do it. If you got to fly LT up, do it. If you got to bring, I don't care, any famous Giant, go bring in the body of Frank Gifford, do it.
Yeah.
Whatever you got
to
do.
If you have to dig up Jimmy Hoffa out underneath the end zone,
I would leave Hoffa there.
Okay.
But outside of that, pretty much anybody else.
Okay.
Bring him in. Do what you got to do.
Right.
And that's the way to get him. But I'm glad you feel positive
about
it.
I'm positive.
That makes me happy.
It's the best job. That's how good I feel about Jackson Dart. That's how good I feel about the position they're in. They got a top pick. They got Jackson Dart. They have cap space. It's still, to me, a premier organization, the New York Giants. I think they're the best job.
Did you have any problem with the Tom Brady Pizza Hut commercial that's aired all weekend long?
Other than, does he
not
need...
Not that he's a whore for money.
I'm tired of seeing him. Can we move on from Tom Brady?
Billionaires still trying to make money.
I get it.
So I'm over the fact that he's a financial whore.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Okay.
Here's the thing I'm not good with.
Okay.
He famously doesn't eat pizza.
It's true. That's complete.
Right?
That's a fair point.
Like he's made
he
a
has
point
no
of it.
Interest in actually
he eats
using
like
the product.
A raw diet or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'd like to see him eat a piece of pizza on pizza.
Yeah.
No?
No, absolutely.
Am I the only guy that feels that way?
On the commercial, he should pull that ridiculous big thing of cheese.
And eat a piece of pizza.
And eat a slice.
Yeah. That would make me believe the commercial more.
Mm-hmm.
And not think of him as just a guy out for a dollar.
So you don't think that you don't think the one thing he misses most about playing football is saying the word hut?
No,
you don't believe
I don't.
That? You think it's a big lie?
I think it's a bit of a lie.
Oh, man.
I think it's a bit of a lie.
It's disappointing.
Yeah. I just want to see Tom Brady take a bite. Just one bite.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat the whole slice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to eat the... he doesn't even have to have the... pepperoni cheese stuffed crust.
Yeah.
Just a normal piece of pizza and a single bite with swallow.
Yeah.
I want full swallow on it. I don't want one of these, take a bite, the director says cut, and he spits it out.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I did that in high school. I'm good. All right? I want Tom Brady live to take a bite of a Pizza Hut pizza and swallow it. And then I'll start buying Pizza Hut.
100% right.
All right?
Do you think Pizza Hut should come out with like a Tom Brady pizza where it's like some sort of like non-gluten, avocado sauce instead of tomato sauce, some sort of ridiculous
no, avocado
Tom Brady approved pizza?
No, I don't. There's certain things in life you don't F up because three people claim that gluten makes them sick. Sorry. Not sorry.
I know a lot of people who
lying.
Is that gluten-free?
There's no such thing as a gluten problem in this country. There never was. It's just some new thing that people have to complain about their health. Stop it. Oh, I can't eat spaghetti.
Yeah,
no, you can. Do it.
I used to always have an itchy throat. I stopped gluten.
Oh, stop it.
Suddenly my throat
there's
doesn't
There's no
itch.
Such
you
thing as peanut allergies or gluten allergies.
That's not true.
Yeah. In the 1970s, not a single kid in Roosevelt Elementary had a peanut allergy. And if they did, you didn't care.
Now we all introduce our kids to peanut butter in the parking lot of the hospital.
What are we
That's
doing?
What we all do.
Did you do that?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yep.
100%. What did you do?
When we had little, when the babies were born, to introduce them to peanut butter and
you
certain
just
things.
Just give them a spoon of peanut butter.
In the parking lot of the hospital in case something goes wrong.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep. That's a thing. That's
it wasn't when I had kids.
Well, it was for the McMonagles.
So wait, you drove to the hospital?
Correct.
With both boys in the back?
Well,
car seats
each one, yeah.
Oh, you did separate. I get fair enough.
One was born before the other,
and
so
you were like,
Dante,
take this spoon of peanut butter.
Yes.
And then what'd you guys do? You waited?
Correct.
And just looked at him?
Yep.
Like you're at the zoo?
Correct.
Like, I wonder what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Did he break out in hives?
Yep.
Can he swallow?
Uh-huh.
Is he breathing? Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's breathing. His eyes are open. He's watching Cars for the ninth time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I never heard of such a thing.
Absolutely. And I don't think it was just I think peanut butter is the big one, but like anything, shellfish, like there are people who do that.
Weird people.
Yeah. What do you want me to tell you? But yeah. I was in the parking lot of the hospital trying peanut butter out.
That's all due respect.
Rubbing it on the face, giving them a little bit.
That's a wife thing. That ain't a husband
thing. Well, it certainly wasn't my idea.
That's 100%.
But I went along with
it. We all have wife things.
And I am not alone.
That's a wife thing.
I guarantee you I'm not alone.
Well, sure
if
you're
we
not.
Opened up the felons to it, not that you want to.
I don't.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My wife made me go to the hospital parking lot.
Unnamed producer, your kids are a little bit older than Big Macs. Did you and your wife drive to the hospital and rub peanut butter on your kids' faces to see if they broke out in hives?
No chance. Not even close.
No chance. Oh, please.
No. Right. I'm just asking. He has different. I guess you have different wife problems.
I have a lot of different wife
problems. Like spending $100 on pizza. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
That's crazy to me.
Yep, that's what
Here's,
we did.
Here's Dan and Randolph on the fan. Dan, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you taking my call. These are actually two topics of food related. One, I think Tom Brady is making an AI version of himself, like a human self, because I don't think he's capable of actually eating pizza, all the work that he's done to his face. And two, Connecticut School of Broadcasting, my brother was in there, and he actually had a job with the Giants as well. I'm not sure if he was with Big Mac or not, but this was the year that they won the Super Bowl. He used to send me pictures all the time with the media, everything, with the omelet station, all that stuff, all the great food that they had. He couldn't appreciate it because he's a carnivore. He eats dough, sauce, cheese. He doesn't actually enjoy a nice omelet.
I gotcha. It's so funny you said that, because the reason teams do it is to try to make sure the media, you know, is positive or objective at least. That's why they do it. They're trying to butter you up.
So I think they're just being kind to people who are working in the
when
building.
You have the worst record over the last decade, mm-hmm. I mean, you could give the media lobster.
Well, he just said they would do when it was when they were winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, I ran the board. I didn't go to the stadium during that. I was on the board for the 2011 Super Bowl, which was miserable.
The worst experience I've ever had
as a Giant fan. Watching it on the TV in there, hearing Bob Papa say it 13 seconds before I watched it on television, it was a nightmare. Not to knock Bob, does a great job, but you listen to the radio call, then you see it on TV. The Super Bowl, as well as the NFC Championship game, that whole run. All those playoff games.
So
in there.
You're saying that Bob Papa ruined the Super Bowl for you? Is that what you just said?
No, it's not what I said.
No, it sounded like it.
Well, I mean, the
you're
idea
like,
that
I had to sit here and listen to Bob Papa.
But before I watched it. Yeah. So I was like listening to the game on radio. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting the direct feed, and I'm watching the TV, not on direct feed.
But that's a committed guy, which is why you're doing afternoons now.
That's why.
See, it led to that. All those sacrifices you made back in the day. You had to sit here and run the board for the Giants.
Yes.
So I can tell you this. When I did radio in Philly, mm-hmm. I was on WIP in Philly from 93 to 97. In 90, it's either 5 or 96, they made me and Gary Cobb, former football player, do a show against the Super Bowl from a sports bar that was airing the Super Bowl.
What sports bar wouldn't?
No joke. The dumbest show I ever had to do in 34 years of doing this.
What did you do?
Because they had lost Westwood One, the rights to the Super Bowl for like 1 year. There's like an argument, whatever it was. So they had to air something.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to me, and he called him G. Cobb. Me and G. Cobb went to a place, I think called Philly Rock. It was like a sports bar, wings and whatnot. And we did a live radio show against the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's what we had to do.
That's impossible.
Yeah, well, it was fun. That was a lot of fun.
What'd you do?
We did the game.
Yeah, right. That's it. What else could you do?
We basically announced the game, which back in the day you weren't allowed to do.
Right.
But obviously we did. Here's Brandon.
Moses.
Yes, exactly. Brandon in Warwick, New Jersey. How are you, Brandon?
Pretty good. And Warwick, New York. But
I was going to say, I don't think there is a war. It's God's country right there, Craig. God's country.
I apologize.
Yeah, Big Mac knows.
Sure,
you guys were saying before, there's never been a quarterback or there's never been a coach to win in two spots, but Sean Payton won in New Orleans, and he has an opportunity with Denver.
Yeah, but he didn't do it yet.
He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in Denver sitting around going, no coach has ever won a Super Bowl in two cities, we're screwed.
Right.
Like, they're pretty pumped up about the job.
Yeah, like, to be fair, Brandon, who must be a lot of fun at parties, to be fair about it, they hired him knowing that no coach had ever done what they're asking him to do.
Correct.
So my gut is they're okay with it.
Yeah.
And they're the number one seed,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not bad.
No,
in
not
year
bad.
Two.
Year two?
Yeah.
Year three, I think.
I got to be honest. I'm not afraid of them. Yeah, I know it's weird. I'm not afraid of the Denver Broncos. And to be fair,
mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of the Patriots yet either.
Mm-hmm.
I know, great win last night, great defensive performance. I put that game more on the Chargers' inabilities on the offensive line to protect Herbert. And while they deserve to be celebrating and you're two wins away from another Super Bowl and all that jazz, I'm not afraid of the Denver Broncos.
No, I agree with
you. Not afraid of the New England Patriots yet. I'm just not. And I can tell you, from my perspective, I guess it'd be possible to have, it'd be a Bronco-Patriot AFC championship game.
Right.
I want no part of that either. I have no interest in that.
No.
That doesn't
I'll be rooting hard for the Bills.
You want the Bills now?
Yeah, over the Broncos.
Well, you hate the Jets. Like, what did we ever do to you?
Why do I hate the Jets?
Because you want the Bills to win.
So what?
Why don't you root for New England while you're at it? Like,
I want a Bills New England.
You probably do.
Yeah,
because you're a bad guy.
Of course I do.
You just stick the shiv right in our back.
Or you could have Aaron Rodgers in there. Even better.
Can you imagine? Boy, the Jets, we can't get a break. We don't get a break.
An Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold Super Bowl. I could see it now.
I don't think any of them are good enough to beat the Texans. I think the Houston Texans.
Really?
Yeah. I think the Houston Texans.
Defense is excellent. But
I think they're going to the Super Bowl.
Are they
going to
score?
Yes.
You're confident that offense can score? I mean, they got some weapons, but they don't run.
I think the Texans win the Super Bowl. How about that? I feel that way.
Wow.
Yeah. I have a Texans-Rams Super Bowl, and I think the Texans win the Super Bowl. I'll just put it out there. My prediction is now public. There you go. Here's Bob in Freehold, New Jersey. Got that one right. Bobby, how are you?
Okay, how you doing?
Great.
Here's a question. I got 2 points. Yeah. One is, yes, with the second pick, if I looked at some names, something like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, the highest one drafted was number 10 in the draft. So the number one draft pick doesn't always mean you got the best guy. I would trade that for maybe two first rounds and a second and pick offensive linemen and use the second pick for a quarterback.
By the way, I'm down with the first part of your thesis because we've seen it a million times that there are as many great quarterbacks that didn't get picked first overall than did. Probably, obviously more because there's only one guy that gets a crack at that every year. But that doesn't mean you pass on the opportunity to get a guy that if your scouts and your personnel people tell you that guy's can't miss, while you're not always right about it, you don't have the luxury of passing on a guy that winds up becoming a great quarterback. And that's why so many teams are so willing to take a guy first, second, third, fourth, fifth, because if you don't have a quarterback, you need a quarterback. And that's it. Period. Stop.
Yep.
You cannot win a Super Bowl anymore without having an above average to great quarterback.
Right. I agree with you if it's a can't miss. And the second point is, as far as like the Jets not having an extra point blocked the whole season, the formula is not good because they haven't. If you don't score a touchdown, you can't have an extra point blocked.
Thanks. I'm sure that works well at Comedy Central. But the Jets are the punchline of every joke
out
there.
Even bad ones. That's it. They are the punchline. Yeah. No, they haven't had a field goal block, an extra point block. But it's easy when you don't have an offense. Sure.
I hope the Jets listen to that.
Right.
Because there needs to be a concerted effort just not to be the laughing stock of the league. You don't have to win a Super Bowl next year. They're not going to. But if the New York Jets could be 9-8, could they tease us with a wild card opportunity with 2 weeks to go?
Yeah.
And the games mean something after, Labor Day?
Yeah.
Is that possible to play a meaningful game in the month of October?
Yeah.
Can we get that? Because I'm now at a point where I got to break down joy, right? I got to break it down. I got low-hanging fruit. Can you give me a meaningful game after October 1st?
Yeah.
Like, let's not be greedy.
No.
Let's not sign up for it's Super Bowl or bust. It's not.
Yeah.
The Jets are not going to a Super Bowl next year. I'm okay with that. But I need a good month. Yeah. I need, by the way, when I say a good month, 2-2.
Yeah.
I need a 500 September.
That'd be nice.
That's all I'm asking
for. That'd be nice.
I'm not greedy. I don't want 4-0. I'm not even asking for 3-1.
Right.
Give me 2-2. I'm okay going into October.
Yeah.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
I'll take that all day.
No, I'm
500's where it's at.
No, that's what you need.
Let's go mediocrity.
Let's go. That's it.
That's what I'm looking for.
I'm with you. And can I speak to his idea though for a second there?
Go.
About drafting second. Because here's the point. If you're gonna trade that pick, the only way you trade it is if there is a consensus number two quarterback that someone's gonna come up and take. I don't know how you don't like him. If someone's willing to trade up to number two to take him.
Well, it doesn't mean they're right.
No, I understand that. But, like, if there is that kind of quarterback, like, if Chambliss proves himself to be that with the combine and everything else, like, how do you not take that chance?
I agree.
So it's either you're taking, like, I don't see how you trade that pick. One, you've got two first-round picks this round. this year. You have three next year, right? Mm-hmm. So you have you have a lot of picks. So you're either going to take the second best overall player in the draft, which will be the best player outside of the quarterback.
Correct.
Right? So you're going to get the best player in the draft.
Right.
I would want to do that as opposed the again, the only reason anyone would trade up with you is if there's a quarterback there to take.
I have a play
and if there's a quarterback there to take, you take him.
No.
You take him.
What if just play this out for a second.
Yeah.
What if that quarterback is Dante Moore? And I just watched Dante Moore look like a guy that can't play NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't want Dante Moore.
Why does someone else? Why would someone else want him?
I don't know. Like, why did someone think Zach Wilson was going to be a great quarterback?
I understand.
Right?
I understand.
Guys, they do make mistakes. The caller's right about that.
Well, of course.
So
but
my point
also,
is,
you also,
if I've got a guy graded low,
right.
And I can tell you after Friday night, I want the New York Jets to say a city block away from Dante Moore. I know it's not fair to judge a guy off one game. I'm judging a guy off one game. Dante Moore is not going to be a great NFL quarterback based on what he did and didn't do against Indiana.
Yeah.
I can't have it. So if somebody else wants to come up to two to get Dante Moore, and I think I have the right to ask the question, if I make the trade, who are you picking?
Right.
If the answer is Dante Moore, let's roll. I'm your Huckleberry. I'll take two first rounds and a third, whatever you need to get to two. I got no problem with that. But I am not taking Dante Moore.
If I would have to really...
Did you watch that game?
I did. Kay. And I don't want him.
Did you watch it
so
live?
So why would someone
did you watch it on tape?
No, I watched that one live.
Yeah,
from a bar. Yeah.
Dante... Oh, yeah, you're in the city with your buddies.
I was in the city with my
Dante
buddies.
Dante Moore is not 6'3", number one. I learned that Friday night.
Yeah.
And number two, that kid ain't ready for the NFL.
If someone's going to give me what it takes to move up to two and take it...
Then I'll take
then
it.
Then I have to seriously consider why, though. Like, you just said it, like... Why?
No.
You just said he can't be a quarterback.
That's a personality
flaw. What do other organizations see that they think he can be?
I'm not worried about
it. And even so, like, I hear you. If you're 100% sold the kid sucks and someone's willing to give you a trade back, fine. But I'm just saying.
If you've made your decision on a talent and you're cocksure that you're right, and I come along whistling Dixie about that's the guy I want.
Right. I just don't think the two go together. But my point to his question, no one's going to offer you the second pick because no one's going to look up the trade to the second pick. There's no quarterback worthy of it.
But your premise is if somebody falls in love with Dante Moore and they want him at number two, that you would then go back to your people and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Why is this team so high on a guy that we've graded so low?
Mm-hmm.
Are we making a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Should we just draft him?
Mm-hmm.
No. Believe in your convictions.
I guess.
You've got the guy graded low. I've got the guy graded low. I am not drafting Dante Moore. And if some dumbass out there wants to draft a kid that can't play quarterback, you can have him, and I'll take everything you got.
Okay. And if Dante Moore turns out to be a great quarterback
NFL... Well, I'll have to apologize for my transgressions, and I'll be fired for it.
Yes.
I'm willing to take that risk.
Okay.
I saw that kid play against Indiana. That kid looked every bit like a Jet quarterback, and I don't want him.
Right.
Because he looked like a Jet quarterback.
I understand. But that's what hurts them. I don't think that premise is plausible. I don't think anyone's trading up to take a quarterback. I just don't.
Well, you have to start considering who would.
Right.
And what do they have to offer you to take that pick? I agree.
Right.
I agree.
But
obviously, there's half a dozen teams that need a quarterback.
And then do what, though? Like, if you don't draft the quarterback, say the perception is that game's an anomaly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Say that's the perception heading up into the draft. Everybody loves the interviews. Everybody loves the pro day. Everybody loves the combine. And suddenly, whether it's him or Chambliss, what if, forget Dante Moore, you're against him. We talked about Chambliss. What do you think of him?
I like Chambliss a lot. I think his stock has risen off that performance.
What if he suddenly thrusts himself into the conversation where he is the number two pick and you have everyone beating down your door to trade up to number two?
Well, because I feel differently about Chambliss, I might just take him.
I think you have
to. You know, related to Chris as a Yankee fan.
I think you have to.
You got to love that.
Yes. Is he related to Chris Chambliss?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Hey, you hit a walk-off home run in the playoffs for the Yankees?
Yeah,
Anyone
you were born,
to,
by the way.
Before I was even born. But I'm aware of what happened before I'm born,
good.
As well as the long list of quarterbacks who've been unsuccessful with the New York Jets.
Yeah.
I get it. You can't be afraid.
I'm with
you. If there's a quarterback that half the league is calling you, you should think to yourself, we need a freaking quarterback. And you know what? Here's the beauty of it.
God.
They have three picks next year. If he sucks, you're back at it again next year. You keep doing it till you get it right.
Just like the Arizona Cardinals. How'd that work out for them? Bills beat the Jaguars by 3. Niners beat the Eagles by 4. Rams took care of business by 3. against the Panthers on Saturday. And, of course, that great four-point game, Bears over the Packers. If you could get that every week in the playoffs,
yeah,
man, we're sailing right into February. Because that weekend, outside of last night's game, gave us another gift, an absolute gift from the sports gods, and they did the Giants a solid, too. More of your calls coming up on that here on the Carton Show with Big Mac.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires. And they honor all manufacturers' rebates. They even honor competitors' rebates. That's with more than 120 stores from Connecticut through New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires. Why go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices. That's Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.